Today, we have one of my best friends in the entire world, Miss Daniela Young. We've done a whole lot of life together, the good, the bad, the sad. Today's episode catches up on how she's doing 2 years after losing her dad, the growing pains of starting a business and balancing life, and a whole lot of laughs along the way. So let's get to my girl, Dee. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special treat for you today. She's back. Miss Daniela Mason, or Daniela Young, whichever you know her as. She is both.
I am.
She is both.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Thought your husband was having a heat stroke.
Oh my. Yeah. I spent the morning with my husband getting an IV from working outside for too long. He has a lot of boomer energy. He won't just stop. He won't stop doing stuff. Like after he's getting the IV and he's like, I want to go back outside and stack the buckets. I'm like, you're not going to go stack the buckets.
No, there's no stacking.
You're getting
buckets.
An IV. Mm-hmm. I will stack the buckets. So when I get home, I'm stacking buckets.
I honestly was like, do I need Russ to go babysit? So you're Chris. Like,
I love how there wasn't an option of me not coming.
No.
The option was Russ can go watch babysit him while Chris. You come be on the podcast.
Yes, because you have things I want people to hear.
Well, thank
so
you.
So Chris, just as long as you're not in critical condition.
Well, we know now he's not. He's fine.
He's not. Yeah. He's not. So for those of you who are watching these episodes, which is new this time around on Coffee with Kaylee. Thank you. There are now visuals and it lives on streaming places.
Places where they stream.
It lives on the internet. The visuals you have in front of you are thanks to this girl across from me. She helped me with my branding and everything for this season of Coffee with Kaylee. She also helps Russell with all of his things.
Yes.
We have grown into a strongly codependent relationship. We have been best friends for like 16 years, and she has 2 episodes on season 2 of Coffee with Kaylee. Right? It was season 2.
Yep. Whatever.
Yeah, the last one. Yeah. Two episodes on there. So if you haven't caught those, do go back and hear them. It's a lot of our origin story as friends.
Today will be more fun. I feel like those are a tearjerker.
They are.
So you got to like
prepare. It was shortly after Daniela had lost her dad.
Yeah.
And we were both a mess at that point.
Whoever got to edit that, that was probably fun.
You know, so we're going to touch on, you know.
Yeah.
Grief 2 years out. Almost at this point. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about. But if you missed some things, I would encourage you to go back because when we do talk about her dad, especially episode 2 has a lot of the most epic miracle stories you've ever heard. And you are here because you have been requested by the folks. They're like, when do we get more Bob stories?
I don't have very many more to tell, but.
We'll think of some.
If one comes to me.
Yeah, I've got a couple I can think of.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, we've been friends forever.
Yes.
And ever. Like, ride or die.
Closest. We've had a lot of different versions of, like, you've worked for me, I've worked for you.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of iterations.
I used to do all your visual content.
And here I am doing your visual content.
Such a full circle. She was actually the reason I ended up becoming a photographer because I had a camera because I like doing it for fun, but I hadn't done it professionally. And you were like, can you take my headshot? And I was like, I think. And I did.
And the fun fact is that day when you took my headshot is the first time I saw Chris in person. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I like looked over and I saw him walking across the quad with his hood up. Like a weirdo.
This is not surprising.
And I was like, I think that's Chris. I think that's the guy they're trying to set me up with.
Whoa.
So that's actually the first time I saw him in person because before that I'd only seen him on like, you know, Facebook.
Oh.
I know.
Wow. What a monumental day.
I know.
And now here we are.
Here we are.
16 years later. Still best friends.
Yep.
We've lived together. We lived together for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Been besties for the resties.
Which is why last time when we were building this set and you ran out of gas, that I was the first person you called.
Well, also you were like 50 feet from me.
Well,
that's a tale.
You knew that I could save the day.
We bail each other out on consistent basis.
Yes.
And we're both, you know, brainstormers. So we brainstorm for each other.
Problem solvers.
Yeah. Problem solvers. Yeah. Like this was a problem. I just made her spill her coffee.
I just spilled on my shirt.
Is it on your shirt?
It is.
You know, it's a look. If you're watching with us on the streaming, the streaming things, you'll see a little speck of coffee on Daniela. But we were putting this set together, and I left. And as I was exiting the parking garage, my phone was dying or dead, mm-hmm. one of the two. I was really living on the edge,
across the board.
Living on the edge. And I looked down. My car has like a bunch of recalls on it, actually. The information no one's asking for. I really need to get a different car. None of them are like life-threatening. But all that to say, my car dings a lot. Because a lot of people are like, how do you not hear your car? I'm like, oh, it dings every time I get in it. Because it's like service this or service that. And it's really just like these recalls. So anyway, I get in. I hear a ding. It's the normal one. And then it dings again. And I was like, oh, that's my gas. And I had this flashback to 3 weeks prior, the last time I used my car.
And, because you travel so much, yeah. you don't
and,
use
and
your
we
car.
Usually like use Russ's truck. Like I don't really, we had been gone a ton too. So between being gone and using mostly his car, I go big stretches of not using my car. And so I remembered last time I was like, oh, it was one of those like, I have to get gas as mm-hmm. soon as I. So not only did I get back in it and not get gas right away, that day I had gone to Target. I went to like multiple places when it was like next, the minute you get in the car next. So by the time I saw it go off, I was like, oh no, like we are dangerous here. Like this is bad. And so I started to head towards the gas station at least. I headed the right direction. I mean, I think I made it 100 yards out of this place.
And then you died in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I died in the middle of the road.
You did.
I at least got off the busy road.
Mm-hmm.
But wow.
Still a road.
Still a road.
Mean road.
Still a road. Yep. Still in the middle of it. And I called you. And I was like,
Well, and fun fact, I'm very independent and capable.
Yes, you are.
For the record.
Yes, you are.
But this was the first time that I had to put gas in a car from a canister. Mm. I've only ran out of gas one time in my life, and it was actually recently, and it was on the highway, and the highway patrol, or the highway people
had
to come help me because literally I was on an overpass on a highway.
There was no shoulder.
Very scary. So they had to come block traffic, whatever. So they filled my car up. So I had actually never done this before. And both of our husbands are gone.
Together.
Because my husband, for the record, tours with her husband, his guitar player. And they're both gone for an acoustic show. And that was just, that just felt like.
That was the cherry on
the
top.
The final straw. Because it wasn't like for an arena. It was for an acoustic show.
And it was an acoustic show that like came through and we were like, should he do it? Should he not do it?
And we just kept saying, where are, like, and I typically can do everything myself. Like, I'm independent. But I was like, this is something Chris should be doing. Or better yet, Russell.
This is something Russell should
be
doing.
But we figured it out. I might have spilled gas on my hands and melted my manicure.
That was the part that she calls me
sweating profusely.
Like, yeah, it was so hot. Well,
we had to go to four places.
Right. The Kroger didn't have a gas can. The gas station didn't have a gas can.
We had to go to a lot of places.
Yes. And then luckily,
they're like, oh, don't let her around the gas. She's pregnant.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And honestly, Kaylee has like dad energy. We all know that she has big dad energy. So she would normally be able to do this herself, but she's pregnant. They were like, don't let her near it. So then I'm in my head about it. I'm like, stay away. She keeps trying to help me. The thing's breaking. I'm like, stand back. I'm saving the day while I'm spilling gas all over myself. But we made it.
Yes.
We got you gas.
Yes, but you were like, my hands are so sticky. And then you called me after we're like down the road, traveling home. You're like, my hands are sticky. And you're like, I figured out why my hands are sticky. And I was like, why? Because we just both assumed it was the gas or like the something. You're like, the gas was melting my manicure off. And that was just the part that was like too far. I was like, I'm paying for your, I still have to Venmo you.
No,
I was like, please.
It came back together.
Oh, really? I was like, please tell me you at least needed to get them done. She goes, no, I just got them done. I was like, no, I'm so sorry.
But honestly, a day in the life. If you want to know what our friendship is like, it's a lot of that.
It was that. And it's, I love how you just threw out, everyone knows that I have big dad energy. That is not something a lot of people know.
She really does.
This is a running joke in our friend group that I have big dad energy. And as you all know, I have like tears in my eyes. I'm laughing so hard. I have all brothers, so I certainly, like, even at the all gender functions that we do, like, guys,
you're
girls,
doing
everyone
the dad
together,
stuff.
I'm playing cornhole with the boys. Like,
but you're, like, setting up the cornhole. Like, you're, yes. Like, that's what I mean. Like, you get
up. Like, for Mother's Day, I asked for a new TV.
Right, that's a dad.
That's
move.
A dad. That's a Father's Day request.
Yes, yes. The you more know, you get to know Kaylee through this podcast, as you are on,
I'm
her
the one who
her,
fixes
you'll...
the internet if yes. it stops working. Mm-hmm. Or like, at first I didn't know what they were talking about, and then we started to break it down, and I was like, "Wow, you guys are way too right about this."
It's real.
I love Costco.
Yep.
Just, you know. Yeah. I really could, if I had to like grill out for everybody, I would, and I do, like, on the road. I make spicy brats for the boys, mm-hmm. if we're...
Well, and I have, like, I wouldn't say I have dad energy, but I have missionary's kid energy.
Yes.
That really comes in handy for times like that.
Yeah.
I rise to the occasion.
Yes. There is nothing.
My everyday isn't
do.
Necessarily, you know, I am a little high maintenance in my daily life. And I like nice things. I like to have a nice environment. I like to be comfortable. But
I think you deserve that.
When I think so too.
After
thank
how
you.
You've been raised, you deserve that.
And so now, but when push comes to shove, when I need to show up with some missionary kid energy, I've got it. She comes out.
So anyway, all that to say, we have Daniela to thank for me being alive today and being present.
You
even
would have been fine. Someone would have picked you
it
up.
It was hot. Well, because when your AC goes out, so does
right.
your... I mean, sorry. When your gas goes out, so does your AC.
Yes.
And that's... And it was like...
And you're pregnant and...
90, 100 something. It's yeah. hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you came to rescue me, I just hopped in your car because I was like, I'm not sticking around here. This is torture.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you ended up... Most people know you as an artist.
Yeah.
And a songstress. Of sorts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite songwriters and voices on the planet, which is.
Thank you.
And planet. See what I did there? That's one
Kaylee,
of my favorite.
Stop saying jokes and puns when I'm drinking coffee. This is a new shirt.
Planet is one of my favorite songs of hers. So that's a deep cut if you guys are a super fan. But probably a similar time to when we were recording last. I feel like God had told you to do a sabbatical, or you were shortly coming out of it.
Yeah, I was more so coming out of it.
And I want you to take us on that journey.
Yes. So for many years, honestly, getting close to 15 now, been in the industry, a singer-songwriter. I had quite a journey of... I was independent. No one would sign me. I was like a little early to some of the musical trends happening at the time. Nobody understood what I was doing.
She's so ahead of her time. She really is, though. She really is.
Thank you for saying that. It doesn't usually pan out like positively, though, if you actually are new to something, because nobody understands or gets it. But then quickly the scene started to change and all the labels and publishers came back and they were like, can we sign you? So I ended up signing a major record deal back in 2014. And that was a whole journey for 3 years, just very, very kind of classic, tumultuous record deal. Everyone I worked with was lovely. It was more so just the times. Things were changing. Spotify was taking a seat at the head of the table. And previous to that, they weren't even a part of the conversation. So I signed a deal before Spotify really was a thing. Streaming wasn't a part of my deal. So it was a very interesting time in the industry. There was a big change happening at my label, a changing of the guard. So I signed to the president of the label. And by the time I got dropped, my whole team was gone. So there wasn't anyone left in the building I knew. And the guy who signed me was very gracious. And he actually dropped me right before he left and gave me all my masters. So it was really very kind. And I ended up going back to being independent after that with the masters that I had. And I ended up having more success as an independent artist than I ever did at a label. But what's really interesting about all this is I was developing these skills along the way that I didn't know why. I would be so annoyed, like, why do I have to be designing this? Mm-hmm. Like, I should be doing other things. Why do I have to be producing this video myself? Why do I have to be doing all these things myself? Even when I was at the label, there was a hilarious moment where I had these ideas for what would be now a visualizer, but they didn't really have them at the time. And I was like, I want to make these videos. I already had all the footage, which you helped make.
So full circle over here.
I know. Remember?
Yeah.
You and AJ and me made the all those visuals.
Yeah, with like visuals, the prisms.
With prisms. It was super sick, honestly.
It was.
I watched it the other day. Not everything I made at that time do I still like, but I do like that. So I said, can we edit these videos together? And they were like, sorry, all the video guys are working on other things. And I was like, well, can I like use a computer at the label? And they were like, yeah, like that's the editing bay. Go use a computer. So I'm sitting in there. I'm editing all my own videos. And a guy is like a executive is doing a tour, showing some people around the label. And he goes past the editing bay and he's like, this is the editing bay. These are our video guys. And he kind of motions to me and he's like, and this is an intern. And I literally was like, yes, I am. I am an intern. That is my whole life. And all the video guys are dying laughing because they know I'm a signed artist to the president. Like, anyways, I look back now and
very
I
humbling.
See very my whole life has been humbling. So even now, the areas in which I'm confident, I'm like, this confidence is hard won. You have no idea what I've been through. So now I'm looking back, I'm seeing all these skills kind of coming together. Coming back to that. Mm-hmm. Keep up. I go back to being independent and I start working very, very, very hard. 90, 100 hour weeks, self-imposed, my own deadlines, no one else's. And I start putting out records. I start putting out a song as often as I can pay for it. A lot of times, 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks between releases. And I'm just working super, super, super hard. And I think I'm probably trying to prove people wrong, prove some people right. I'm not exactly sure. I'm still kind of digging into why I really dove headfirst into this very real workaholism. A lot of it, I'm looking back now, I know that I was sort of trying to bury a lot of my grief in work, which is something I still do, and I know that I do it. I don't know if that's better or worse. But work is like a beautiful distraction to me. So I start on this path of just really unhealthy workaholism. And fast forward to the top of 2020. So this is before the pandemic. And we are at Kaylee's house for something we call Shamps and Shaba, where the gals get together, we drink champagne, and we pray for one another.
We did that like twice.
No, we did multiple. We just haven't
bring
done
it back.
It in a long. We should bring it
we
back.
We need to bring it back.
This is the moment. So we're having Shamps and Shaba. And you go around and you kind of share something good in your life and hard in your life.
Yeah.
And it gets to me and I just had like nothing to say. And I have a lot to say if you can't tell. I'm a talker. And the girls all just looked at me and you guys all were like, Daniela, you are not okay. Mm-hmm. You are exhausted. I remember, I think it was you or Becca said, we haven't seen you like this since your mom died. And that was sort of a moment I just like broke into tears and I realized there is a lot of like mourning I was feeling with my own career. Like, how could I have worked this hard for this long and I'm still not achieving the things that I want to achieve, that people have said I could achieve, that people said I couldn't achieve, right? And so I just start to look at my life and realize how hard I had been working and striving.
Right.
That is like the root of it.
The difference, yeah.
There was no moment where I was like working together with God or others to accomplish these things. It was like me, myself, and I will like white knuckle this mm-hmm. until I die. Like that mm-hmm. was what I was headed towards. My body was like breaking down, which my body often tries to tell me what's going on because I'm not going to take time to process. So you guys really called me out that day, encouraged me all at the same time, which is what good friendship should do. And I was like, I think I need to quit. And I called my management that day and I was like, I am stopping everything until further notice. I was supposed to fly to LA that day and I canceled my flight. I remember you were on bed rest because you were early pregnant and you had just had some struggles and issues earlier yeah. to the pregnancy.
It was like a self-imposed, I'd had a chemical pregnancy. I was pregnant with Remy and I just was scared. Spotting. Yeah. And I had some spotting and I was just scared. I was yeah. like, you know what? If they put people on bed rest when it gets serious, I'm just going to put myself right. on it. Yeah. So it was definitely a self-imposed, yeah. but I was terrified. So, but yes, I was
on the couch. You were laying on the couch and you were like, just stay. The boys were gone. And yeah. I laid down for 3 days mm-hmm. and I was still exhausted. Like yeah. I did not do anything for 3 days and I didn't feel any more rested. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to stop everything.
Taking a quick break for one of our incredible sponsors, Dreamland Baby, and I'm so excited to tell you about our favorite newborn sleep hack. The Dreamland Baby weighted sleep sack performs miracles, let me tell you, miracles, and relaxes and calms the baby to help them sleep better for longer periods of time. By mimicking the feeling of a parent's touch or hug, the sleep sack is the perfect solution for a good night's sleep for both baby and parents. We all know sleep is so important for new parents, so it's hard to find a product that is safe, natural, and actually works. And this one is a huge win. Dreamland Baby also uses CoverCalm technology that evenly distributes weight from the shoulders to the toes, which is exclusive to Dreamland Baby products. It includes a two-way zipper for fuss-free diaper changes and quality materials that hold up well wash after wash. I remember newborn life with Remy before we had Dreamland Baby. Like I told y'all before, I bought this for myself when I knew we were pregnant again. And so when they wanted to partner with Coffee with Kaylee, I was thrilled. So go to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter my code COFFEEWITHKAYLEE at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide and free shipping. This offer is for new and existing customers. Hey friends, I wanted to share about one of my favorite sponsors, Modern Fertility. We're supposed to go to the OBGYN once a year for our annual checkups, but checking in with our fertility isn't usually a thing we do until we're ready for kids or we're struggling to get pregnant. And that's why Modern Fertility was created. It's a super easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Mail it in with a prepaid label and you'll get your personalized results within 6 business days. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600. I personally had my OB run the more expensive tests on me several years ago, as well as doing the Modern Fertility test. So when my Modern Fertility test came back with the exact same results for only $179, I had to tell my people about it. And if you go to modernfertility.com/Kaylee, you can get $20 off of your test. Plus, you can get reimbursed through your FSA or HSA. It is so helpful to get clinically sound information about your body so you can make the decision that is right for you. Whether you're ready for kids or not, I highly recommend Modern Fertility. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off your test when you go to modernfertility.com/Kaylee. That means your test will cost $159, which is a fraction of what it would cost at a fertility clinic. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/Kaylee. modernfertility.com/Kaylee. Now back to our guest.
What was crazy is shortly after the pandemic hits and I couldn't have worked anyways. And everyone else was forced into a sabbatical.
And freaking out. And you're like, I'm just a few months ahead of you guys.
Well, I kind of felt like God did that for me, that I chose this as opposed to like it happening to me. But obviously I didn't.
Right.
And so that started a journey of 6 months of me not working. And honestly, at any other time, like, how could I have afforded to not work? So it was just a very interesting time of, like, I was like, I have this gift afforded to me, the gift of time. And so every day for a long time, I would sit and I processed a lot of emotions I had never processed. And I sat and cried. And I felt like God really just did surgery on me for weeks and weeks. I just remember Chris would wake up. He would go out into the yard on brand.
As he does.
And I would sit on the couch and I would just process. And this point, for those of you who don't know my story, my mom died when I was 19. And that's sort of how a lot of our friend group got started. Yeah. Was we were sort of locked in early on. Like, you had to be in or out at that point. Mm-hmm. When someone dies. So the ones who were in were all still friends. But I really didn't process a lot of her death for 10 years. And this was the moment. So even now, I know that when I slow down, when I have an off day, it's my grief will hit. I know that. So I'm doing a lot better this time, but I don't know that distractions are bad. I just don't think they can become a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So at about 6 months, I felt like God started to give me some things back. So I started to write again. I started to kind of come alongside other artists and their creativity. I didn't feel like it was something that I could step back into as a creative at the time. And so what's really interesting with that whole decade of life is a friend of mine, Maggie, who her, you should have her on the podcast.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
Her artist name is Ruel, and she's an incredible artist. She's had so much success and a lot of it on accident. She's just kind of that person that, like, she just makes really great music. Mm-hmm. And
incredible taste.
She's got incredible taste, and she's really built an awesome career on a lot of her stuff getting in film and television. So Ruel wanted to write a pop record. So she invited me in 2020. This is one of the first things I came back to, which is, I'm realizing this in the moment.
Wow.
One of the first things that I did coming out of the sabbatical was I went to Florida and wrote a record with Maggie. And we wrote this pop record. And then shortly after, she got pregnant. And she was like, because she was independent, she was afraid that the album wasn't going to come out. So she asked me if she could hire me to make sure that the album came out. And I was like, I guess. Like, I'm not doing anything. I made sure my albums came out. So I feel like I could
I can do
that for you. And then what it ended up turning into was me executive producing the project and creative directing it. And then that opened a whole can of worms that is now a company with many employees, and I am trying to keep my head above water. So we started doing all this stuff at Ruel, and then other people came along to hire us, and then Russell calls me one day. He's like, whatever you're doing for Ruel, you got to do it for me. And I was like, I mean.
Well, interestingly enough, it was because I was pregnant.
Yes.
Same thing. That I was like, I.
Because former creative director over here handed the baton to me because she was like, I am tired.
I am tired.
Do not make me
and
do this.
And I can't be the one to oversee it anymore. And I mean, a lot of y'all might not even know. Like, you know, I directed his videos and whatever, but literally every ad mat that came through, which is like showing what shows are coming and merch items and
she
album
would have,
covers.
Like, Photoshop out trying to fix stuff.
And yeah, just like making sure his overall creative things looked as cohesive as possible. And like, I tried. I'm not nearly as good as the girl sitting across from me.
Well,
I mean this stop. In every possible way, not just puffing you up here. I mean it. And so I was like, I need to retire. And who am I going to trust more than anyone? It's Daniela. And who is also better than everyone?
Stop.
Daniela. And so, but it is funny to me that it was both pregnancies.
Yeah, maybe that's my thing.
Of us being like,
are you pregnant? Are you an artist?
Let us help. Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
And so she took on Russell's career right before this last record came out.
Yeah. It was very close to the album coming out because we were rushing to try to, like, you know, put something together. This new stuff that's in the works, that's really been fun because it kind of feels like the first time we've been able to, like, fully collaborate from
the shoot, every detail
of it.
Yeah.
So Yeah, it's funny. When this company started growing, I started noticing, I'm like, why am I good at this random thing? And then I was like, oh, because I had to
learn
how to do this for years for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I look back at my life and what I think I thought was failure, God was actually teaching me how to do all of these things.
Yeah.
So in the moment, it was like, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resource. I don't have enough people that believe in me. I'm all alone. But in reality, I was learning how to design. I was learning how to creative direct. I was learning how to art direct. I was learning how to hang curtains from a ceiling. Like these things, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the missionary kid thing, I think, collides. We're like, I am scrappy enough to get on a ladder that I'm afraid to be on to hang something from the dang ceiling.
A lot of miracles happened that day. I lived. Daniela got on a ladder.
I got on a ladder.
I wanted to go to Kinko's for this sign that's
behind
me.
She wanted to hang a poster board.
I did.
And I said, let me call my sign guy. We'll get something
because
cooler.
You have a sign guy because you're a boss over there.
Because I have a company that I need a sign guy. but it's funny because even now I'm looking at, you know, I'm directing people. I'm overseeing people that are all doing things that now I have the resource to have them do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing I always wanted.
Yeah.
But it's for other people. And it's really been beautiful to do that. And then I get to give the gift to people of something that I never had. So I know what they need.
Yeah.
Intimate way.
I always describe it as like, you did this for yourself. So you know how to do it for everyone else. But beyond that, because you are an artist, your eye is different than someone who's trying to make a brand company and different than someone.
I do have pretty good guesses on what people will like.
Well, and you understand the artist.
Yeah.
And you know, you get to know the person and you get to know what they're going to like.
Yeah.
And what they, when they say things, you know how to interpret it.
Yep.
Instead of like, oh, this guy, we're going to hire him because he's really well known and everyone loves him. And then they show up and they don't know you at all. And then what they create. That's why I was always so involved, because someone had to know the person.
Yeah.
And I can fully relinquish control because you know Russ as good as I do. Almost.
And you've done a great
job obviously.
Of relinquishing control.
Oh, I'm so honored to relinquish.
Like, please God.
Like, please.
Please
I
God
have podcasts
it.
To do. I have things to do. But yeah, it's been so fun to watch you thrive in this space. And like, you are such an advocate for women, and so much of your team is a lot of women.
Yeah. Most of my, I do have two boys on the team who are the designers, but the rest of us are women and we have so much
fun. And you're so good at mentoring and like leading women into, you're like the number one cheerleader in everyone's life. You're like, you're good at this, this, and this. You should be doing it this way or that way. Or let me connect you with this person or that person. So like for you to be a boss, like a real one. I was going to say quote unquote, but you're a real one.
Yeah, technically I am paying people.
You know, like I just am so happy for the people that like get to learn from you.
It's kind.
I mean it.
Well, one of the girls who works for me who helped us here, Olivia Grasso, she is actually also an artist. She's a baby artist. She's 10 years behind me, and it's been really fun to build relationship with her over time because I just didn't have anything like that. And I craved it so much to have someone that believed in me, that could give me advice that was 10 years ahead of me. And now I have that for sure. Right. Like Natalie, who you've had on the podcast, and Carrie, who you've had on the podcast. Like, they've been really lovely. But in my 20s, like, I didn't have anyone. Mm-hmm. And so it's really fun now to be able to give something that I didn't have and empower. If we're honest with the podcast listeners, one of the things that I'm really trying to work on that I don't think I'm naturally good at, that I'm getting better, is empowering people to do things as opposed to me just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct is to be like, oh, just give it to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just do it. Right. But what it's been good for me to learn how to do that. And it's given me a lot more altitude. So the more that I have empowered others to take on projects and things and different, you know, wardrobe boards and art direction boards and design, then I've noticed that I can retain this role of being unbiased.
Totally.
And I can see what it needs to be more clearly if I do the hard job of empowering others instead of controlling it.
Because you're not emotionally attached. You didn't do the edit. You didn't put together the thing that you mm-hmm. don't have this emotional attachment to, like, oh, or like, I really worked hard to make this shot work, so mm-hmm. I want it to be in there, yeah. but it, say it missed the mark, like,
and
you
have
can
to leave it on the cutting room floor, like, yeah. some things have to be like that,
yeah.
And the more I've like grown to empower others, because for those at home, I've got control issues, so it's hard for me to not yeah. do a lot of it myself. Mm. And honestly, I've just been forced to do it because we've had so much work come in that I technically can't do it all myself. So I have to have other people doing things. It's really forced me to grow, though, because I'm like, well, I might as well really do a better job at leading you and mm-hmm. and empowering you and making you feel like this is a safe environment to win or fail and learn and grow. And that's what I wanted and didn't have. And so that's like my current goal that I think I'm getting better at.
Yes.
And it's been fun to watch the team evolve once I got less controlling.
Yeah. Well, you get to see it turn out mm-hmm. and you're like, it's scary at first.
Yes.
And then it gets better.
Yeah.
And I think this just applies to no matter what, maybe you don't own your own company, but maybe you're a parent. Mm-hmm. And like when your kid is doing something, you're like the temptation to be like, let me just do it.
Oh, I do that to my husband every day.
Kids or Chris.
And I'm like, it's fine. Yeah, I'll just do it. It's fine. And he's like, Daniela, let me do it.
Yeah.
And I actually have learned a lot about myself in a personal way through running a business and some things I have needed to work through as a person and a friend and a wife.
Yeah.
And a sister, like my little brother. I kept like robbing him of lessons because he was like about to do something. And what if he did it wrong? Like I could just do it and I can do it better. So like, let me just do it real quick. Well, then he doesn't know how to do that.
Right.
So I'm trying to, I feel like I might be learning this lesson now that will help me if I have children.
Yeah. No, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you're going to be real equipped.
Yeah, I think so.
You're going to be real equipped over there. Yeah. It is interesting, like, because you do learn, like, for anyone who's afraid of taking that next step of doing the scary thing, mm-hmm. like, you only get confidence in it by doing it.
Yeah.
That's the thing with podcasting is, like, everyone is invited to your day one, yeah. like, on the job. You're mm-hmm. like, you only learn by doing it, and you've got to do it. And yeah. and it's being recorded, yeah. and everyone's going to hear it, and everyone's going to know. And you know what? I had to sacrifice my perfectionism as an Enneagram 3.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know what? Like, I cannot keep waiting for everything to be perfect because it just never will.
Yeah.
And
the irony of it is that you will never get to the version you see in your head if you don't start somewhere.
Right.
So the only way to get better and better and better and closer to perfection, whatever right. that looks like, right. is to start doing it and to maybe start doing it badly.
Yep.
Like, I look back at some of my first designs, I'm like, oh, God, this is terrible. But what I know now,
it's not going on the website, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I've taken stuff down off the internet.
That was me. Oh, my photo website, I was constantly taking off work. I was like, I don't like these anymore.
But you couldn't have gotten to where you are now if you yeah. hadn't have done that. And now I see, like, I'll get designs turned into me and I see things that I don't like and I know why I don't like them, and it's because I did them. And I can look back and see that. So you can't be paralyzed.
Yeah.
With perfectionism because you will never get started, and then you'll never even get close to where you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never achieve perfection. But I mean, you can get better and better.
Yeah.
For every day you live if you just keep doing it.
I think at some point it just occurred to me, like, perfectionism isn't relatable.
No.
And I think I was like, I care more about having relationship and feeling approachable and like having genuine connection, which includes people knowing your faults.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I care more about that than someone looking at that and be like, wow, that's mm-hmm. like so great. Look at that. It's like the perfect brand and the perfect cover or mm-hmm. the perfect this or the perfect life. I'm like, no. I'm like, yeah. you want to see my redneck Riviera in the backyard with all the inflatable toys, no grass.
My favorite
grass,
thing about you, my favorite thing.
And our Costco hot tub.
I walked
tub.
Up the other day and I was like, what happened back here?
It's scary. Y'all, our house, Russ cleaned it yesterday, but wow. It was because it's also been too hot for me. Like, I'll clean the rest of the house.
But I love that about you. I want to go and see a weird inflatable slide that's like half off a hill. That's rocks. Suddenly, you have rocks in your backyard. I don't know where they all came
from. They dug a flat space, sort of. We like live on this big hill. And so that's been hard with a toddler. Like, there's not been a good flat space for him to play. And a friend of ours, like, they have big machinery and came over and just plowed a flat space. But now there's like weird jagged rocks. You know, I call it the Redneck Riviera. And we were going to redo the exterior of our house in 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, we remodeled the inside so we could move in. And we're like, okay, and then we'll do the outside once we move in. Well, then 2020.
Right.
And it was a scary time. And mm-hmm. we were trying to pay for all y'all as much as we could. Like, it wasn't just our mouths not being fed. But we understood the gravity of it all. And so I was like, well, we're definitely not getting new windows. Like, we have families.
And y'all need new windows.
We need them so, we still need them so
Your
bad.
Your windows are bad.
If anyone's listening to this,
can you give them a window?
Do you work
sponsorship?
For Pella? Anybody?
There's no, they could give you a sponsorship.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Those windows are not safe.
We need some work. You know, all that to say, we're just letting you behind
the
curtain.
Goal.
Yes, it is certainly not the goal. And thank God, because we would be failing so miserably. But if you feel seen by having steamed up windows, honestly, there's a whole sunroom part of our house that it's not even windows. They're just glass from the 80s. Like,
yeah, they're not windows. They're not like, what do you call it?
Thermal or anything.
There's no insulation.
No, no. Yeah. So if that makes you feel seen, we're in the same club, you know? And I just want to add, because I used to do this, like, I had friends who had really nice homes and all this stuff, and I wouldn't invite them over because I didn't feel like our house was presentable enough. Like, it went that deep. Like, it affected my friendships.
Mm.
And I was like, the people I needed to impress, I was like, they shouldn't come to my house. And even I feel like that even now in this beautiful home, because the outside is like rotting off and the windows
are
steeped.
Outside is very pretty.
It's not, it's got squirrel holes.
Just you can't get too close, but like when you drive up, it's a moment.
Yeah, like yes. But like, you know, there's definite issues going on because we just never got around to it. And then prices went like crazy.
Yeah.
And my little frugal Midwestern self is like, I'm not paying that much for lumber. Right. And I. So we still just have our house.
Big dad energy.
Big dad energy.
I'm not paying that much for lumber is the sentence that just came out of your mouth.
Oh my gosh. The big dad energy is going to go. It's going
to make a shirt.
It's going to carry on. Yes.
We'll
and
shirt.
We submit any merch ideas
while
we're scattered because Danielle is going to help me do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just like want to, I like, it's a regret I have when I think about it that I'm like, man, I.
Holding yourself back from
my
people.
My house was not, should never have been the deterrent.
Yeah.
Like even when we were in our smaller house in a rough part of town or whatever, I like being embarrassed by any of that is a regret that I have because what was actually going to happen inside the house and like the community and the friendship and like
so
the conversations
deeper.
We could have had. For like really hurting people or something, you know, like that would have so outweighed my deterrent, you know. So if you can relate on any level,
and
invite them
like,
over. Just invite them over, even if the house is a total freaking mess.
Yeah,
I did get it recently from Target. They have like a giant cane. I'll post it when we do this episode. A giant cane basket with a lid.
Mm.
Best thing ever. You just. If someone's showing up, you just grab stuff and chuck it in there.
Yeah,
or if you're
go.
Really healed, like I'm getting there, you just leave it all out.
Yeah.
Because you've seen
if
me.
If they're your
with
friends.
It all out. Yeah, that's right.
You should be able to walk in and it's.
And it's chaos.
And it's chaos.
And it is.
Well, and something I've learned too about perfectionism is I've learned that in my desire for order and my desire for the best thing, a lot of times... The way that I'm operating is actually counterintuitive. So if I'm in pursuit of perfection, I'll actually miss the best thing that's happening.
Hmm.
So actually on Russell's shoot we did 2 weeks ago, I had a whole plan. I had my shot list. I had the schedule. We're shooting in a house. We're moving through the house to get all this stuff. And there was a really cool thing that started happening in the moment with the scene that we had set. And I had this tug in my heart. I was like, well, but the schedule says this. And I had this document that I did in my spreadsheet. and we're not following it. But I, like, knew in the moment, I was like, this is cooler. This is better. This is the best thing. Hmm. We need to change course. And we did. And I was so proud of myself. I don't know if anyone else saw that happen in me. But I realized in hindsight a lot of things that I missed out on. Really cool in the moment present things that I missed out on because I was too future focused and I couldn't get past what was supposed to happen. And what is better might be happening right now and I'm missing it.
Hey friends, one last break before we finish this conversation. As a parent, you've had to learn so many new skills to provide for your family. How to do copious amounts of laundry, meal plan for even the pickiest eater, and now how to protect your family's financial future. Fabric by Gerber Life offers flexible policies that fit your family and your budget. You could get $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Here's the deal. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric provides easy one-stop shop for your family's financial needs, offering high-quality term life insurance policies plus other financial solutions in one easy online hub. No health exam is required, and you can go from start to covered in under 10 minutes. Not sure what life insurance is right for you? Take their 60-second quiz to find out. No risk here. Fabric offers 30-day money-back guarantee and easy cancellation. But Fabric is more than life insurance. It's a full digital platform for wills, college savings, and family finances. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/coffeewithkaylee. That's meetfabric.com/coffeewithkaylee. M-E-E-T, fabric.com/coffeewithkaylee. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Now back to our guest.
So you've already spilled the beans on yourself that you can be workaholic. So this is a check-in, you know,
in front of everybody.
Yeah. 2 years after your dad passed, which interesting, really sweet side note.
It'll be 2 years in October.
Yeah. When I looked at my due date for this baby.
Yeah.
It was just a day before your dad passed.
Yeah.
And it was like this sweet little wink. I felt like I was not scared.
Yeah.
Even after loss, that I was like, this baby's going to be fine. And like, there's just like, to me, there's this like Bob wink on this baby that's like really sweet to me.
Mm.
But, you know, 2 years is still, it's like forever and 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, because now you are working again.
Yes. A lot.
A lot. Like every time I'm with you most days and you're working so much with us. And then I look on our off days and you're in a session or you're something. And I'm like,
Daniella. You know, I have other clients too. I'm not just you.
I know. We forget they're there. We pretend they're not there.
See,
I'm just kidding.
I try to make people feel like that though. So.
With your time. No, but I mean, how are you doing with all of that? And like just... Everyone kind of really got to be a part of your grief story on our last episodes. Like, update them. And for people also going through grief, like, what's helpful now? And
well, I think in an effort to sort of normalize how a grief timeline is not lateral.
Right.
So in some ways, it does not feel like it's been 2 years at all. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's still alive.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's, I think, hard because that's a realization that keeps hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not processed most of it still. And I know that. I think the difference with my mom is I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was happening.
Mm.
For me, I'm trying to do my best because, you know, how many of us wish we could put our whole lives on hold and... you know, have all the time in the world to just process and feel. And I can't tell you how many times I'm like, I think I'm going to move to Italy. I'm going to move to Italy. I'm going to like live on a vineyard and I'm just going to like feel and process the rest of my life and not do anything. Now, obviously, I wouldn't be able to stay doing that because I like doing things. But I don't have the luxury to take the time I need. But I just try to take the moments when they come. And I do take days off to just let my life catch up to me. And I kind of, what I try to do is allow that day to be whatever it needs to be. So if it's a peaceful day, if it's an emotional day, I try not to force myself in one direction or another.
Yeah, that's good.
And just let the waves come when they come. But I will say my personality, I'm not the person that it's going to hit me while I'm working. Mm-hmm. Like I have to be resting for it to happen. And I'm just in a season where, you know, this company is growing and I'm building it and I'm having to work a lot. My brother actually called me out a little bit the other day on the phone. He was like, every time I talk to you, you're working. I was like, yeah. But I would say what's different for me is I'm actively looking for ways to bring balance to my life. I'm actually about to bring on my a full-time operations.
Yes, we love to see it.
Yep, Randy.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to strategize to make my life different. And I think it's hard sometimes when we want our life to be different, but we don't make a change to make it so. So for me, I'm looking ahead and I'm seeing, okay, this season I'm in right now is temporary. It is not, it cannot have longevity. Mm-hmm. I cannot continue to operate the way that I'm operating right now because I know I've been there. It doesn't end well. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to strategize and know that there are seasons for everything. And this is a season of plowing. It's a season of planting. But we're already starting to see some harvest. And so I think for me, I'm just trying to be really disciplined in empowering others, handing things off, and raising people up on my team to take more and more responsibility, to give me more of a chance at balance. Mm-hmm. And I do have more agency in my life than maybe I used to. Although I feel like my first bout with workaholism, a lot of those deadlines were self-imposed. And now the deadlines I have are actual deadlines that other people have given me. So I do have to meet those. But I'm just trying to grow well. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not grow tall with no roots. Mm-hmm. I want to grow deep and I want to grow tall, but I want the strength to be there so that I'm not carrying it all on my back. Like I really want a deep root system. Mm-hmm. So I think the difference for me is that my perspective is different. I cannot say that I'm on the other side of all of this. Because I did have a moment the other day where I was like, Daniela, you're working 90-hour weeks again. And I was like, okay, I can't keep doing that.
No.
But that's when I called my business manager and I was like, hey, can we afford to bring an operations person on full time?
Yep.
And she was like, let's run the numbers. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to do this. If I take a pay cut, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
And so my values are different. Mm-hmm. I value my peace and time with my husband and time with my people. And I don't need the distraction of work like I needed it before. Mm-hmm. Although it does still come into play. So I think I'm just pursuing balance and my grief will be there and I will continue to process slowly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like all I can do.
Right. I mean, it's always going to be there. There's never a moment we're not going to grieve.
Right.
Thinking about Bob. That's just never. Right. That's just not in the cards. Yeah. And when someone is that impactful, he's that impactful in my life and he wasn't even my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's just, I don't foresee ever getting over it personally. Yeah. So I don't expect you to.
The sting like lessens, but it's still there. And I think if I'm honest about the emotion that pops up the most, I hope this doesn't mean I'm at the beginning of my five stages of grief, but I still do feel a lot of anger.
Mm. Yeah, that's
but fair. I also feel peace. So it's kind of a weird mixed bag. Mm-hmm. But I think back to just how things could have turned out different decisions, different, mm-hmm. all these things. Like, I think because I'm such a
fixer,
I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think about how I could have fixed it still. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm trying to do myself favors in letting emotions wash over me when I feel them. So if I'm angry, it's okay. I can be angry. And when I'm sad, I can be sad. And I'm learning with myself and others. I do this thing where I absorb negativity. So I figured this out when we were renovating my dad's house. So for those of you who don't know, like when he had just moved to Nashville and bought a house and demoed it and then passed away. And so we kind of inherited a house that was taken down to the studs. And we had to finish it in order to sell it so that we didn't lose money. It was this whole thing. So we start renovating this house. Poor Chris is like working on it for a year. I mean, it was like so much of his energy. And it's a bad situation. It's awful. But I kept trying to like stay positive. It was like my effort to like hold on to anything. And so anytime something would go badly or would be frustrating and Chris would get frustrated, I'd be like, it's fine. Just go home. I'll do it. Like it was harder for me to hear him be frustrated or experience these negative emotions than if I just did it by myself, which is kind of has an interesting thread with everything we've been talking about.
Right.
And he looked at me and he was like, Daniela, this is frustrating. I can be frustrated.
Yep.
And I was like, huh. Like that was such a realization for me because even for myself, I'm like, I don't get to be frustrated. I don't get to be mad. I don't get to be any of these things. And so I started realizing like I've been absorbing. And then when I absorb these negative emotions or regular emotions or whatever they are, they don't exit. So then they just live in my body. So my brother would show up to help. He would be obviously like emotional as one would be. And I'd be like, it's fine. Just go home. I'll do it. And obviously it's emotional for me too.
Yeah.
But I just absorbed it and then like went about my merry way. So I'm trying to not only give other people in my life space to have a spectrum of emotion, but also myself.
Yeah.
Because it's because of my trauma that I am this way. It comes in handy a lot. It doesn't mean that I'm not turning it to good, that I'm not grateful for a lot of the ways I've been fortified. I can keep going like no other person. And that does come in handy.
Yeah.
When Chris is like passing out and I'm like,
I'm sending Russ to babysit.
I know what to do. No, but like I know what to do when things are going wrong, right? But I cannot like always live. I cannot live in survival mode my whole life. That is not what I want for myself or my family. So that's something I'm currently processing of like, do not absorb and retain these things. They are meant to wash over you, to come through you, to come out the other side, like crying these things that are cleansing. They're meant to be these things. So, I'm learning a lot about myself right now. And it is interesting that there is a common thread with my personal life and my professional life. And just trying to be a good steward of the information I'm discovering.
Yeah.
So I don't want to discover these things about myself and then move on and never do anything to change it.
Well, watching it, I can tell you it feels a lot healthier.
Well, thank you.
And you're doing great. I think delegating is a huge piece of it. And and that applies to everyone everywhere. Like there are things I have to delegate in my life. Even though I'm not running a business anymore. I mean, I guess technically we are. It's always weird. Like no one expects an artist to be a CEO, but you are. And my husband is a CEO of a decent sized company at this point, you know. I have to delegate too. And being gone as much,
something's got
to
give.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring on a full-time nanny or help because I want to be with Remy. But I brought in someone to help me clean the house and help me with my laundry because that's what I was overwhelmed with.
Falling through the cracks.
Yeah, and I'm like, and I hate doing laundry. And I would rather hang out with my kid.
Yeah.
And so doing things like that, delegating in whatever area you need to. And some of y'all, it may be delegating some things to your husbands.
Yeah.
And being like, you know what? Yeah. Like, I need some help with this thing in the house because I am overwhelmed. And I'm also working. And I,
Because not everyone can afford to, like, bring in help.
Right.
But, you know, the goal is to live life in community and family. And if you're blessed to have people around you that you can ask for help, it's, you got to, you have to.
And accept, I'm preaching to myself now, and accepting when people are like, how can I help you?
Right. I ask you and you don't let me.
I don't let a lot of people, but it's because I do like the seclusion every now and then.
Totally.
When someone offers to help, that means people are around, you know, and if, when you're around people constantly on tour or something, I'm like, you know what? It sounds better to me because I process cleaning. So when I like deal with grief or things, or it's always over the kitchen sink. It's always vacuuming. It's always, so sometimes that's the space that is like kind of sacred to me, and it can be overwhelming. And that's what's harder with a kid. But that, like at night when I do like a reset, that is a lot of times, or early morning when I like have my revelation of sorts.
So do you find if you're dodging processing that you need to do, that you dodge cleaning?
Yep.
Hmm.
So when my house is a wreck, you know.
That's interesting.
And Russ knows that too. Like, I don't know that we've all drawn that conclusion because I think I was today years old when
when I just
with
said it.
That revelation. But yeah, like he knows if the house is like a wreck, I am also a wreck. Mm-hmm. I think he takes care, he steps in and like is like, go take a bath.
Manifestation of,
go take care of yourself. And the bath. Bath is, I'm revisiting, Kristen Bruss was on the podcast and she was talking about just like hearing your own heartbeat in the bath. And I was like, I have neglected that. Mm-hmm. And that is like a really sacred space for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, TMI for a lot of people probably, but the couple bath. Hmm. Is if you both got a shower before, if that grosses people out. Some people are weird about baths.
I've never had a bath you want to take a bath in.
Yeah.
So not for us.
We're inflatable Costco hot tub people. You know what I mean? So like whether it's that or for $3.99 at Costco, you can be a bath person with chemicals, which is nice, you know? None of that filth stuff. But honestly, it's just like recently we just did a reset and it was like we're putting our phones on the charger.
Yeah.
At 8, 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting in the bath or in the hot tub.
It takes discipline.
And we are just going to look at each other.
Yeah.
And talk, especially if you have kids around, that you don't get to have a real full conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the connection I feel is so significantly different, even with myself, my own emotions.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm like, and I'm sleeping better.
Yeah.
That magnesium in the bath salts, so great.
I feel like discipline with taking like control over your day is really hard because your day can kind of take control of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really tried to get better. Like I've been getting up a lot earlier, going to bed a lot earlier to give myself some time in the morning before everything starts. And that was hard to change. I was a late night person forever.
You could text her at 3 and she'd respond.
Yeah. But I've noticed like my lack of discipline with just my time. And I'm like, okay, Daniela, you have agency here. You get to wake up early and take some time and sit. I like to sit and drink my coffee and play Wordle. That really helps my day start well. And even just
word in the Wordle.
Word in the Wordle.
Yeah, so cute.
And getting to just even sit with Chris for a little while. We've had to work harder recently at getting on the same page because our lives are can go in such different directions a lot of times. And so I'll look forward at the calendar now and be like, okay, I've got back-to-back things these 3 days. And then I realize, okay, today I have time. We need to do something together.
Yep.
We need to take time to connect. But that's really taken a lot of discipline because I always can get caught up in the momentum of my life. And then suddenly it's been like 3 weeks since we've had a real conversation. And then you start to realize like how over time marriages can fall apart because you do that for 3 years, you do it for 10 years. Like you realize you don't even know them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the small decisions, the discipline of the everyday, like a whole life is made up of micro decisions.
Yeah.
So if I'm deciding this week to be a better steward of my time, and take time with him when I can and even talk about our weeks and figure out our moments and our gaps. Like these, we have an hour here. Let's go get coffee.
Totally.
You know,
we have to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have a day off and blah, 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 however long. Like we need that day is sacred.
Yeah.
Put blocks. Yeah. No one's touching it. I just think it's so sweet that going back to your dad, like I'll never forget you guys were living in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So you were potentially still in your record deal.
Yeah, probably.
And we went to an ice cream shop and we were contemplating switching churches to the church y'all were at.
Mm.
And I wasn't sure. Speaking of Bob stories, this is like a real personal one. It's one with us, not some random people in the Amazon, even right. though those are great too. But we were ordering ice cream and we walked back over and he looked at me and he was like, you know what I just heard the Lord say is how y'all need to be under the same covering.
Hmm.
And I was like, tell me more. Because
like as in you and us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
And because you guys were already at the Belonging and we knew that's where we were probably going to head. And he said that. And I was like, oh, interesting. And he goes, you two, you guys, what you're called to, it's together.
Yeah, that is a word I've come back to a lot in with new eyes.
Yeah, and here we are.
Yeah.
Now, like, we're still working together.
Yeah, he had said that Russell and I's, like, callings were intertwined.
Yeah.
And I think we always thought we're both artists. Like, maybe we'll do a song together. Like,
yeah, it was, that's like, honestly very, what we thought it looked like.
Yeah. And now, being his creative director, and it's been so fun, like, partnering. And the other day, I thought about that word, and I was like, oh, maybe this is what he was seeing.
Yeah. And he just was, like, just talking about even the church, which that church has been such a lifesaver for all of us, like
same, yeah,
a place that understands what we all do and are called to,
right,
and how important it has been
mm-hmm.
for us. Like, I mean, it's what brought us, one of the reasons we ended up going.
Yeah.
We're like, well, thus saith the Lord via Bob.
Yeah,
here we go, and yeah, it's just really sweet now to like, you know, be sitting here in the set you helped me design,
right.
And like with all these things that I'm like, wow, we really are still doing it together.
Yeah. And more so than ever, I guess.
Yeah. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here with me.
Thanks for having me.
I love you so freaking much.
Go get on my Zoom call.
Yeah, go keep working. Y'all pray for her.
And pray for me.
Next week, we have the leading man of my life, none other than my dad. He is the jolliest of guys and has been the best dad I could have asked for. And I cannot wait for y'all to hear our combo next week.